Uncharacteristically, I'm going to continue with my plan of being structured and carrying on with these beatitudes that I started a few weeks ago. So Matthew 5, and on to the fourth beatitude, which is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I said I would start doing this a few weeks back. Honestly, I know me, and I was kind of doubting whether I would actually stick to it, but I've loved doing this. I've loved studying these. Because it makes me happy, I'm going to carry on. If it made me miserable, I probably wouldn't have, but it made me happy. And when I started, I remember quoting a line from a Misty Edwards song, Soul Cry. And actually, the lyrics of the song say, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the thirsty, you have said it, I believe it. Hunger is the escort for the deeper things of you. Hunger is the escort for the deeper things of you. And I was just thinking this morning, I was looking around the room, and there are some that aren't here this morning. I was thinking how far some of you travel. And I know that some of you travel quite a way, and even without cars, I know you travel quite a way. And I know it's your hunger and your thirst that drives you to seek out Jesus and all that he's doing and all that he is, and to meet with him. And it's that hunger for him, his kingdom and his righteousness that Jesus promises in this beatitude will be filled. And he's saying, as we said before, that, you know, blessed. This blessed word, this blessed means, oh, the blessedness, the blissful state. Oh, how happy are the poor in spirit. How happy are those that mourn. It seems like an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense. How blessed, how happy, how wonderful are the meek. And in this occasion, on this fourth beatitude, it says, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, the words hunger and thirst in those days would have meant a lot more than it does for us. We're going to get hungry after church. We're going to go back and, if anything like us, we're going to have carbs. We're going to have a lot of carbs. It's a tradition that we have after church. And there will be carbs, I'm assuming, I'm hoping, that there are two cakes. There are carbs that will feed our desire for carbs after church in a minute. But when Jesus said this, that hunger and thirst would have carried more weight than it does for us. Because there was the ever-present risk of starvation, the ever-present risk of crop failure and hunger. It was a very real thing. It carried with it real pain and discomfort and concern. Would you ever be satisfied? Would you ever be filled? Would you ever get another meal? And there was a lot of insecurity around food. And the same with thirst. You know, it's a hot country. Israel, it's a hot place to be. And I have a memory of the most thirsty I've ever been was in Israel. It's because I was stupid. Past tense. In 1984, I went backpacking with some friends. And so we had a full backpack, so we were backpacking around Israel. And we got off the bus at the wrong spot. It was midday in August in the desert, and it's not the place all the time to get off the bus at the wrong stop, and we had no water with us. And it was down near En Gedi. We didn't have to walk that far, but it was far enough. We were up in the mountains. We had to come down the mountains we were heading for En Gedi on the what was then the shores of the Dead Sea. It's about 2 kilometers from the shore of the Dead Sea now. And we ended up, we made it. We didn't die. We thought we were going to, but we didn't. it felt like we were going to. And I remember turning up at this car park, and there's a little kiosk there that sold ice cold Coke, and just a big glass of ice cold, a big sort of plastic paper container of ice cold Coke, and it went down in one. And if you've ever tried drinking Coke, full fat Coke, down in one, it doesn't go down in one, but this did. Oh, I just sucked it out of the cup. It was gorgeous. I remember it now. So 1984, I still remember that, being that thirsty. That's just an aside, really, to illustrate Jesus meant by being thirsty, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It's a very real pain and discomfort and concern. And Jesus was saying, oh, happy the blissful state of those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that have that pain. And I know that for those of you that travel, and we've, in times in our lives, we've commuted, so we met Chris and Dennis, we've commuted to churches for years, and with tiny little boys in the back seat. For years, they thought Sunday lunch was a packet of crisps and some biscuits on the back seat. Obviously, the back seat of our car was disgusting, but that's where they had their Sunday lunch. So we commuted because we were hungry. We were just hungry for more of Jesus. And I know you've done the same at different times. Matthew wrote this beatitude. He was writing in Greek, and obviously, now I'm not a scholar of Greek, so I'm going to regurgitate what a commentator said. But he said the way he wrote the Greek words for hunger and thirsting was slightly different, in that the way it would normally be written is that you would write like this, that you were hungry for of some bread, or you were hungry for of some water. But there wasn't that. He just said he was hungry for water, hungry for bread, hungry for all of the bread, hungry for all of the, or thirsty for all of the water. And there's no limit to this. So this is what he's conveying here, is that we weren't just hungry for a bit of righteousness, because you know, we all, like it, Phil, we've got a bit of righteousness in our lives, but he was saying that this hunger and this thirst, Jesus was saying, this hunger and this thirst is for all of the righteousness. And if you're hungry and thirsty for this without limit, you will be filled. It has this promise, with it, that you will be filled. And that's why there's this blessed state, this blissful state, this happy state of those that are hungry and thirsting. So I would say to you, and I just felt that this morning, if you're hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, if you're hungering and thirsting for Him, you will be filled. You will be filled, whether it's this morning, or whether it's in a few weeks' time, or whether it's at a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Which can get messy, but they're good. You will be filled. You will be filled. The promise is for those that hunger and thirst. It's not a promise for those that, through their own striving, believe they have achieved righteousness. See, righteousness, when you talk about righteousness, it has a kind of bit of a bad rap these days. Because righteousness implies, well, it's kind of associated with self-righteousness. Or worse still, in my book, respectability. And there's this righteousness equals respectability. Now, I think the church has peddled respectability in its moral gospel that it's been preaching for a long time. It will preach a set of morals and preach a set of moral standards and not the righteousness of God. Preach Jesus, just preach morals in there. And there's a distinct difference. And so righteousness, remember the last time you had a chat with someone about how they were hungering for righteousness? It's not something we talk about, is it? But it's something Jesus wanted us to know, that hungering and thirsting for righteousness comes with a promise of being filled. King James Version of Psalm, bless you, Psalm 11, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, the upright will behold His face." The Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, the upright will behold His face. So righteousness is this, one of these eternal attributes of God. It describes God as acting consistent with his own character. In a way, he's consistent. He is righteousness, and he acts according with his own character. So God loves this attribute. He is all complete. I love that fact that he loves this. He is righteousness, and he loves righteousness because it's in his character. And of course he would love that. He's perfect, and he's unchanging. There was a Moravian revival a long time ago, in 1727, and it kind of started in the May of that year. I think they were united in prayer. Forgive me if I get the detail wrong, but they were united in prayer, and it brought this uniting in prayer brought forth a great hunger for Jesus. And I can read a little, let me see if I can find, I've got my phone here, if it'll comply with my wishes. It says, so the United Prayer from about 300 refugees brought forth, because they had to flee some persecution. And even though they were... their community was persecuted. There was also sort of division within their community, and there were issues. But it says here that the united prayer from about 300 refugees brought forth a great hunger for Jesus and his word. Everyone desired above everything else that the Holy Spirit would have full control. Self-love, self-will, as well as all disobedience disappeared, and an overwhelming flood of grace swept them all into that great ocean of divine love. It sounds like it's written by someone who knows. Well, I love that. You couldn't write that if you didn't know it. This brought forth a night and day prayer watch that lasted over 100 years and birthed the first systematic sending of missionaries around the world to win the lost. In the May, it was considered to be the beginning of that renewal. And then on the 13th of August, the community underwent a dramatic transformation when the inhabitants of Hernhut, where they were based, learned to love one another following an experience they had, which they attributed to a visitation of the Holy Spirit, similar to that recorded in the Bible on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit visited them, there was division, and they learnt, and he came, and I think this is perhaps an illustration of part of the righteousness of God. God comes, and he transforms us into more of his likeness. And he loves us all, even if we don't love us all. But he does, and he imparts that. And as part of that working, he heals hurt, he heals breakages, and we are... so that we can be one with him. So that birthed a hunger. So that visitation of the Holy Spirit birthed a hunger for Jesus and his word. I love that. And the fruit of that was this 100-year prayer meeting. I mean, wow. I think I'm going to look at John 17. Would you look at that with me? Because that's some lovely bits there. It's kind of a pointer towards, for me, it kind of points towards some of what this promised filling looks like. And this is the prayer of Jesus that John records just before Jesus goes off to Gethsemane. So just prior to his crucifixion. And if we look at verse 25 of his prayer, right at the end of this prayer, and it's just that last moment in the upper room before they go across the Kidron Valley to Gethsemane. And he says, "Righteous Father," he says right there, "Righteous Father, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Just read that last bit again. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. We talk about, we know that Jesus is in us, and sometimes we can trot these sort of things out as, well, that's a fact, it's a truth, Jesus lives in me. But there's something about this that just, for me, just gives a picture of this filling of that Jesus did this, and he says, I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known. So, he's just about to die, and he's saying, I will continue to make you known. And this is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit continuing to make him known to us. In order that the love the Father had for Jesus would be in them. So that same love that Father has, that righteous Father has for his righteous Son, might be in us. So when we hunger and thirst for his righteousness, we will be filled. For me, it's a beautiful picture of this intimacy and this love that Jesus wanted us to know. That it may be in us. There's also, a bit earlier in that chapter, Jesus is still in an earlier part of his prayer. He's saying, I'm coming to you now. This is verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Jesus wanted us to have the full measure of his joy in us. This is the joy that Jesus carried. He wanted us to have that. As well as knowing the love of the Father, the righteous Father, the joy and the love. I mean, who wouldn't want to be filled with that? Who wouldn't want that? Why do we pursue other things? Why do we pursue anything else? This is what Jesus wants for us. This is when the Holy Spirit comes, when we invite the Holy Spirit, when we invite him to come minister, we can expect some joy to be manifest. We can expect some love to be manifest. Who wouldn't want that? Blessed are those, the blissful state of, how happy and how blissful are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. That's all I wanted to say this morning. Can we just wait on God? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you want us to have the full measure, the fullness of your joy in us. And that we might know the love of the Father. Lord, this is it's just so exciting that you want this for us. I pray, Lord, I pray for everyone here this morning. Those that are hungry for more of you. I pray, Lord, that you would fill that hunger. That those that are, and I put my hand up, Lord, and say, me too. I'm just hungry for more of you. Holy Spirit, we invite you here, Lord. We ask that you would come and continue your work, that you would minister to us, that you would fill us with that joy and with that love of the Father that the Father had for you. I pray that that would reside in us, Lord, that you would fill us up. Would you come, Lord? There's no striving with this. Not trying to be righteous to receive that reward. It's just being hungry for him above all else. Father, I pray. I thank you for those pictures that shared by Teresa and Chris. I ask, Lord, that you would just, I would just bless those and bless the work that you're doing. Individuals, I just bless what you're doing. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Lord.